Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Radio, November 17th, week 11 of the NFL season kickoff. Today we have a great show lined up. I'm Oscar Lopez, your host, along with Erica Lynn Anderson at Pat Girls 12. Erica, are you on?
I'm here. Hey, everybody.
Awesome. So, great Sunday. I was on the road, so I'm pretty sure, Erica, you're more in tune with what's going on with the NFL. So, is there anything that we can start off the show with in terms of week 11? I know Houston lost, I guess, another game, so that's 8 in a row, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And I know Oakland somehow squeezed by and won. So give us a little rundown of what happened in Week 11 right now.
Yeah, the Bucs beat the Falcons, amazingly, which is pretty weird. The Jags were beating the Cardinals for a while but ended up losing. The Giants are beating the Packers right now. How weird is that?
And we still have Patriots Monday night versus Carolina, which I think it's going to be a good game as well.
Yeah, and the Chiefs Broncos tonight, which is going to be awesome.
So
I'm
a little bit of surprises there. You know, we talked about in the past about Cincinnati going up and down, and it so happens that Cincinnati actually, you know, puts up 40 points, which is a surprise.
Yeah,
I guess a surprise to everybody. So I mean, they're up and down.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. And Tampa Bay winning. I guess it's good and bad because I guess they're back on track and Atlanta is faltering, and that's kind of like, okay, what's happening there?
I know.
So a little bit of what we're going to deal with probably at the bottom of the hour with the NFL. So a lot of things to talk about in that. So in the short term for the show, we have the Ventura Black Widows, and we have players from the Ventura Black Widows, which they're getting ready for their 2014 tryouts. And we want to thank their owner, Ahmad Newton, for giving us access to the players. And we're going to talk about a little bit of Black Widow football for a couple minutes and obviously NFL and combined with that. And at the bottom of the hour, we are going to have Megan Harris, which is Tackle Girl's documentary. We were trying to get her on a couple shows back, and now we should have her on this afternoon. And if everything goes right with cell phones and everything else in this world, we should have Megan at the bottom of the hour at about 25:30 after, and then we'll finalize the show with week 11 and talk about all that other stuff. So, is there anything else that was surprising today besides I was keeping the tabs on San Francisco and New Orleans? Is that pretty much final at this point?
San Francisco's beaten the Saints by 6. There's 9:50 left in the game, so not too final, no.
So they're still playing, right?
Yeah, they're
all right.
Still playing.
So we are going to go into the No Joke Football Huddle. The No Joke Football Huddle is sponsored by No Joke Football Brand, and you can get it at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. And there's 15% off all through Christmas, and use code WINTERWARMTH. Use code WINTERWARMTH for 15% off on the No Joke Football Shop. So if you go there, put in your code, get some savings off of that, and you get some great deals to give out to any athlete, any tryout, especially with tryouts right now. So sport your attitude at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. So let's go bring in into the huddle of the Gridiron Beauties radio show, the Ventura Black Widows. So we have everybody on, I hope. Is Emma on? Emma Lynn Ashley? Okay, great.
I am here.
How about Jennifer Lawler?
Hi, I'm here.
All right, Jen, how are you doing today? Lauren Casapula, if I pronounce that right.
That's me. They also call me Mouse.
They call you Mouse, and I will call you Mouse. Is that good?
Okay, sure.
Awesome. Anybody else going to be on that I didn't get an itinerary for today? I know, is Ahmad on by chance?
No, Ahmad had to work as far as I know. This is Sandy Smalls.
Okay, Sandy.
Also on the team.
Awesome. So, Sandy, anybody else beyond Sandy that I did not get a
Sarah?
List for?
Sarah.
Who's this?
This is Sarah.
Sarah? So, Sandy and
yes.
Sarah, additionally from Lauren, Emma, and Jennifer, right?
Yes.
Sandy and Sarah. Okay, great. All right. So let's start off the show here, girls. Tell us, let's get the veteran. Who's the veteran of the group in the Black Widows?
That would probably be Sandy and Lauren.
Okay, so let's get with Sandy and Lauren here. Sandy and Lauren, tell us a little bit about Ventura Black Widows and the last year's season and what you guys are planning to do this season in terms of tryouts. I know tryouts are going on right now, preliminary tryouts. But tell us a little bit about what happened last season and what you guys are your expectations is for this coming season next summer.
Lauren, you want to start with that?
Sure, I'll go over last season and you can go over the future stuff. How's that?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Oh, yeah,
so
really
is it Sandy? Is Sandy or Sarah?
This is Lauren, our mouse.
Oh, Lauren. Okay. Go ahead,
yeah.
Lauren.
Yeah. This. Last season was my third season, and it was very interesting because what I found as I progressed through the seasons is I never really know what positions I'll be playing in what games, just that we're all going to try to pull together with whoever's there, whoever's available, especially for travel, and make it work as best we can because our numbers of players are low. But what I saw last season, our commitment was higher than ever in a lot of ways. I think the people that were a little bit lower committed or not very committed are just not coming back for next season. I think we were very brave for our last game to play 11-on-11 and merge with another team that we had never even practiced with before. We had played against them and beaten them. Their numbers were too low to play an 11-on-11 game against a well-staffed team. So we all headed to Reno, and we played the Nevada Storm, and we merged with the River City Raiders. And that was an interesting game. We played our hearts out, played as well as we could. I don't think we got a score, did we, Sandy? We didn't get a score in that game.
We
really challenged ourselves. we did as well as we could, and I felt like a champion. So
now, Lauren, tell us a little bit about some of the intangibles behind that. Is it because of the area that you're not getting enough participation, or is it because it's overinflated with other teams, with other leagues? Because I know you have a situation like over in certain areas of the country where you've got an IWFL team or two, and then you got a WFA team, and all of a sudden, you know, now you have basically the talent is situated with different teams, and you can't somehow staff, you know, the roster for an 11-on-11. So is that the case going in that area, that the fact that you probably don't have enough participation because you have an opposing team from another league that's obviously taking that talent or those hopefuls that are coming into play for your team?
We don't have another team right near us. We just have a low population area. And, you know, jobs and business have been down for many years around here. I wouldn't say it's an overly depressed area, but it does, I think, inhibit people's leisure time for something like taking on a high commitment, high time required sport like football. You know, there's a little bit of travel, and then there's a lot of practices, and there's buying gear, and even getting beat up old gear is still going to be a cost. And you know, it's hard for folks. And then when they find out how hard football really is, that weeds out some people right there.
So it's a matter of a little bit of logistics you're talking about, and then obviously some time. You know,
yeah.
It takes away a lot of the free time.
We don't have a whole bunch of major universities around with people coming out of college who then want to stay here, and maybe they're done rowing crew. You know, you can't just go onto a local crew team. and maybe that, you know, football would be good for them or something. We just, we don't have like a feeder type deal going on. Recruitment is difficult. Retention is difficult.
All right. So, you know, Lauren, have you ever, have you guys, I'm just throwing things out there, but have you guys ever considered going on an 8-on-8 or 7-on-7 format, just like the Women's Spring Football League does with the 8-on-8s? I know they do 8-on-8s and then they have 11s-on-11. So have you guys ever considered that as a team that maybe downscaled down to an 8-on-8 just for the fact that
I'm going to let Sandy answer that so we can let her talk about
that. Sandy, can you answer that for us?
Oscar, we have been playing 8-on-8s for the last 5 seasons. We are an 8-on-8.
Oh, so you are at that level.
We are at the 8th level. We are trying to build ourselves to the 11th level, which we believe this is our breakout year to do that, which is what we're very excited about. We've gotten some great turnout with our tryouts, and we're hoping to retain the players that have come out, and it looks like we'll be able to play a couple of 11th games this year. So we're in that merge at that moment of breaking out into an 11th team, but still being able to play some 8th teams.
What type of recruiting do you guys do? I mean, I know you guys are, like you're saying, you're not near like a metro, but are you guys doing anything recruiting-wise with networking, like maybe with a nearby team that doesn't, I mean, is there anything else going on
in terms of networking? We do recruit with the local roller derby teams. We also have 2 military bases by us. So we do recruiting that way locally. We do local festivals as well to get our name out there, and we do a lot of fundraising. That says that women's football is pay to play. And unless you've got some big sponsors out there, you're still paying to play. So you've got to get your fundraisers out there, and that's how your name gets out there. And every year we have women come in going, I never knew there was women's football. Never heard about it before. So it's not just our market. It's out there in general. So it's shows like yours that really get women's football in everybody's, you know, head and where we're at.
Yeah, and, you know, it's real difficult because I know, you know, depending on the area and the market, like you're talking about, there's going to be a lot more intangibles. It's not as easy as just, you know, fitting a club like you're talking about. So it's great to hear that at least you guys are, you know, like you said, you're transitioning to an 11, which is a positive. What is something that you can tell us about the Black Widows? I mean, the history behind it. I know you guys were mentioning how, you know, even though you guys were shorthanded, you still, you know, had dedicated players show up to play on game day. So tell us a little bit about the community, Ventura community, and how you guys have been supported or who supports you in a lot of ways to field your squad.
That would basically be just our girls. We have great girls. And once they get on the team, they just throw out to their families, who come out and support them in this wacky world of women playing football, you know. And basically, I think in the football community, as far as the different leagues and everything, everybody knows they can rely on the Black Widows to play them a game. If they need a game filled and we can travel to them or they can travel to us, they know we will always play a game. We have yet to cancel a game, ever. And, I think that says a lot, and I think that's why we're still out there after 5 years in an AIDS community going to 11. We're still building, and I think it's because people will still come and play us because they know we'll take the commitment on.
Now, I know ownership, I talked to Ahmad, ownership plays a big role sometimes with teams. So you guys have been very, you know, very good competitively in games. So – are you guys a veteran team at this point, would you say, coming into next season, or are you guys are a little bit of more of a rookie status with some veteran mix in it?
I would say at this point we're a little more veteran than rookie, but I think we're ready to go into the 11th stage. I think we've been at 8th and we've been ready to take that level, and I think we have the right coaching to do that with our defensive coordinator, Coach Chase, is really awesome and really brought in some great aspects to it. And Ahmad himself has a wonderful offensive mind. And I think these girls are committed to do this. So I'm looking forward to this season.
All right, Sandy. Let's dive into the rest of the girls here before we get allotted a little bit more time. But I appreciate you guys being candid about what's going on. And I know it's difficult because I've only followed women's gridiron since 2009, since we started the initiative that we're working on right now. But for the most part, it is a difficult sport, not just on the on-field mentality, but it is a difficult sport in terms of logistics, sponsorship, and like you were saying before, with equipment and everything else. So do you guys, or Sandy specifically, here, Sandy, do you feel like USA Football being on board now with Team USA maybe will, you know, give you more of a positive, awareness, but at the same time maybe more supportive in terms of the cost for all that, in terms of supporting maybe the IWFL and the WFA?
I hope so. I think it's a great, great thing that it's happening. I know there's a couple camps that have already come through that are offering some support to some of the girls and stuff to get better trained, and I think it's wonderful, and I think the word is getting out there more.
Now, on social media-wise, Sandy, are you guys on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? What's your avenue for getting the fans out there or engaging with the fans or just, you know, making people aware that obviously there's women's football out there?
Well, Lauren, you help me out with this. I know for sure we have Facebook, blackwidows.com, you know, Black Widows Football on Facebook. Are we on Twitter as well?
I haven't seen anybody tweeting, no.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that.
So I will tell you guys one thing that I've experienced with some of the teams that are obviously struggling in some aspect of, you know, of logistics. Twitter for me and for everybody is basically the best tool you can use to get the word out quickly. It's simple, it's fast. If you're not on Twitter, you just need to find somebody that you can entrust your organization's, you know, an individual that does tweet and loves to tweet, and that person needs to be fed information about tryouts, about where you're going to be up on in terms of sponsorships, or you're going to be in terms of events, anything like that. Facebook, I usually use more so for just photo things. In other words, I think it's more of a visual with a sidebar of information. So I think you can use Facebook for both, but Facebook is kind of a once a week update or twice a week update, so you don't, you know, overblow the timeline for people that follow you. But for the most part, you can use that. So if you're on Facebook, that's awesome because that's a lot of fans are out there. So you guys are also welcome to go to our Gridiron Beauties fan page and just post anything you want to post, because if you post something on our page, there's about 3,000 fans on our page. I'm pretty sure you'll get, you know, a couple likes coming off of that page. So if we network, it works out wonderfully. Do you guys have a website? I know it was on the website as well.
It's not currently active. So at this moment, I would just pretty much say we'll have to work on getting a Twitter account as soon as possible, and definitely with the Facebook until now.
Yeah, and the Facebook will work. The Twitter I would strongly recommend because it's something that is instant engagement. It's almost like chatting with your friend. It's being at the grocery store, something like that. And as you retweet, which is basically resend a post, people get to see it more often, and it just spreads like wildfire. So if you can do that, I mean, that would be amazing. So tell us, Lauren, tell us a little bit about, since you're the veteran, tell us a little bit about the record of the Ventura Black Widows. Have we improved in the last two seasons? What's the record overall in the 5 years you've been there? Is it a great record, or is it something that we need to work on for 2014?
Well, actually, Sandy's been there slightly longer than me, but just I think a game or two at the end of the season before I came. Let's see, last season, I think we were about even if we count scrimmages. The Reno game wasn't really our game. That's kind of hard to count. That was basically challenge and experience, but we didn't think we could necessarily be super competitive in that game. We beat the River City Raiders. They were a newer team. So that was kind of an easy win. The hard part was traveling and getting everybody in good order to go. Sandy, what other games did we play last season? My mind's kind of drawing a blank. We had so many.
I think in the last five years, we've improved. I think it depends on the caliber of players that continue to play on the team and stay with you, and then having to teach new players this stuff and playing against new caliber teams that you're not used to playing. So I think if I had to add up the last 5 years, we're probably on the downside of the win-loss column, but I think mm-hmm. we have the potential of doing good things this year. I'm very excited about this year. So
yeah,
I think we're looking.
And
for
I think
better
everybody
things.
Everybody is looking forward to this year because of the exposure that Team USA has really garnered. I really think it's a real positive that they're on board. I know they do a great job with the juniors, the seniors. They do a great job with the tournaments in terms of the male aspect of everything. So I know there's a lot of work behind the scenes of, with a lot of people that have put in a lot of time that I'm aware of to get the women's game elevated to an international state. And I know, I don't know if you guys were aware of this, but in 2017 at the World Games, we ended up putting it on Facebook this week. We're going to put it on Facebook. American football is being considered to be participating in the World Game. So the last five sports, and one of those is American football, that is needs votes. So we'll put our link up there on Twitter and on Facebook for you guys to kind of look at it. But it's an easy click. But American football is being considered for the 2017 World Games in Poland. So it's an exciting time. To get that on the map, because if it does get onto a world stage, which is not just our own tournament, but if it gets on a world stage, it's going to be a huge impact for the women's game as well. And we've seen strides made so far, and it's a great time to be in this environment right now, I think, for everybody, because we're finally getting to a level where the women's game is really being recognized for its for its contributions. Let's talk to Jennifer here. Jennifer, are you on?
Hi, yeah, I'm here.
All right, Jen. So this is Jennifer Lawler, and we are going to nickname you Pre-Med. Can you tell us a little bit about how we got Pre-Med as your nickname?
When I started out, I was going to college for my pre-med because I was going into medical school. So that's just kind of how, I guess, that happened.
So, Jen, you are currently the quarterback. Is that correct?
Yeah, I am.
All right. So, Jen, tell us a little bit about last season, some of the intangibles as a quarterback, and then maybe give us a little bit of a positive as to what you liked about the team last season as a leader.
Last season was my first full season as the quarterback. The season before, I kind of just got put in as a quarterback during the middle of a game. Never thrown a ball before, never even, touched a football like that before. I was mostly just a receiver. So it was really interesting to be put behind the line. And
Was it something that you embraced at the time? I mean, because I know you're put under center. That's kind of scary in a lot of ways. But did you embrace that at that point within that opportunity?
I think I did. I definitely, I like a challenge. I like being part of the plays, knowing the plays, knowing what's going on. I went to the Las Vegas football camp for the quarterback position. I think that definitely helped me to train to know and see what I needed to improve on and to know the game a little more and to understand the game a little more. So,
Jennifer, you also played against, you said your favorite game was against River City Raiders. Can you tell us why that's your favorite game?
I thought that they were an easier team to play against. I think it really just brought up my confidence in throwing, especially the long distance throwing, because I'm more of a short passer. And I was able to do a couple of long distance throws. And I did a little running. I'm not really. I usually kind of just stay in the pocket, but I started to run out more. Started to see the bigger field. So I think it just brought more confidence to me. I felt like that was kind of like my starting game. I think that's just really helped me out.
So Jen, at this point, let's put you on an NFL level. Who are you on an NFL level quarterback? Who would consider yourself your game right now after if you were an NFL quarterback?
That's tough.
Are you a Kaepernick? Would you like to get away from the – or are you a Russell Wilson? How about maybe an Eli Manning or Tom Brady?
Well, I wish I was an Eli Manning. I wish I was a Brady. I wish I could have that talent that those guys have. I wouldn't say I'm really a Kaepernick or Russell Wilson because I don't run that much. We have another quarterback, Bird, and she's an amazing runner. I could definitely see her like that, but I stay more in the pocket. I try to like look for people. So
are you more like Peyton Manning? You're more like Peyton Manning. You're just in the box and in control of that in the box.
I'll try to be. I wish I was Peyton Manning. I would love to have his knowledge and understanding of the game.
I just gave you a big boost right there, can you tell? Ventura's going to blow out right now. Jennifer Lawler, the Peyton Manning, that's right there. Jen, tell us a little bit about how you're coming approaching this season. Obviously, one season under the belt as quarterback. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're approaching 2014 in terms of the tryouts right now?
I'm always looking to improve. So right now I'm definitely wanting to be more versatile. So I want to I've been training a little more on running. I've been also training more, trying to do more long distance throwing. So I've been training my arm for that and just being more consistent as well and making sure I support my receivers and make sure I get the ball to them when they're supposed to be and everything like that. So.
All right. So, and one of those receivers we have on right now, and I believe that's Emma Lynn Ashley. So, Emma, can you tell us a little bit about Jennifer, her game, you know, obviously put in to take care of business. What have you seen from your quarterback in the previous season here? And then coming into this new season, what do you expect?
Well, Jen is definitely very calm. She is definitely, I can see why she went into medical school. She knows how to stay calm under pressure. she's great. She, just as she said, she plays in the pocket. She, I think in all sports, it's a mental game, and she has that. And I'll catch any pass she throws at me.
And now, Emma, you have basically scrimmaged with some of the top caliber teams, as you've told me before. The San Diego Surge being no slouch, you know, national champs, and obviously the Sting in this area. And San Diego has had a history of producing some very good players, you know, that are mentioned nationally. So, have you taken that all that into this team and try to elevate the team and be a leader in that sense?
I definitely try. This was my first season, definitely not my last. I love this team. I love this game. And the scrimmages against San Diego Surge, that was my first taste of tackle football. That was my first tackle, my first catch, and it was a great experience. And it was an honor to be on the field with players like teams in San Diego. I hope that Ventura Black Widows can have that kind of reputation one day.
And now I know you played cornerback, so are you more passionate about smashing somebody, or are you more passionate about eluding somebody and making the big touchdown? So is it offense or defense for you? That's the question.
You know, that's a great question. Initially coming into this sport, I was so anxious to crack someone, as my son might say. But I love to receive a catch, definitely a more challenging catch. I like to reach for a pass. TV passes are, you know, right in the pocket. But I don't know. Tackling now, it has become something that I need to work on. I do my best. But it is something that that I need to improve on. I enjoy the contact So it's hard to say whether I like the offense or the defense side. I have a little bit of basketball background, so I definitely like playing the position I do because I can read the defense. I like that. It would be great to get a few interceptions this coming season. But I enjoy both, I think, equally at this point.
Now, I know everybody talks about, fitness and health and everything else in the game. So is it up to everybody right now at this point within the team to just kind of get fit for their positions? Or is there some sort of program that the coaches, recommend that you guys get on a regimen either for weights or just cardio or anything? What's your regimen to get ready? I know you're playing basketball, so obviously it's a little bit more cardio and maybe running. And I know you noted on there saying that you had done your first half marathon in November, about a week ago or so.
Yeah, November 10th, I just completed my first half marathon. I was extremely proud of myself. My goal was 2 hours and 10 minutes, and I finished in 2 hours and 7 minutes and 49 seconds, to be exact. So that was a feat for me. And cardio definitely is something that I work on as a player. I do a little bit of weightlifting. We don't have a regimen for any kind of workout plan that's handed to us from coaches, but definitely all of us, I think, individually take it upon ourselves to work out in the off season. I don't think there really is an off season, but I think you always have to be ready. Our first official practice will be December 14th. Correct me if I'm wrong, ladies. Anyone on the call?
No, you're good.
I think that's right.
So you're approaching that, and I know Lauren or Mouse, as we call you, Lauren, you're doing CrossFit, right? Or you've done a somewhat of a CrossFit mentality.
Yeah, I not only have been doing CrossFit a total of 2 years and a couple months, I've been doing, I think it's been 3 months, I've been doing custom programming. And what the coaches are doing for me, since I play line and I'm also switching to fullback because I'm really kind of a pipsqueak for the line, and I want to be more of a power athlete and improve on that. So instead of just doing a big metabolic conditioning 3 times a week, I'm doing 4 times a week with more and more heavy weights and some metabolic conditioning. So instead of doing about 25% weights and 75% crazy CrossFit, that ratio slipped the other way, and then the specific workouts I do are tailored to my strengths and weaknesses. That has helped me a tremendous amount in just the last 3 months. All of my weights that I can lift are up. And I feel like when the season starts, I'll be able to tell when the coaches are ramping us up to something that's actually more than a CrossFit warm-up.
So now, Lauren, at this point, was that a decision on your part just for health reasons, or was it a decision on your part, obviously, towards getting better at the sport that you were playing?
It's mainly for football, and I had no idea how much my general physical preparedness would improve. I'm just really stoked. It's just helping me all around.
So it's really helped you out in on both ends at this point, on a personal level and obviously being more impactful on the field, right?
Yeah. I feel like, hey, if I'm going to be a blocking fullback and back up the line, I'll probably play guard, maybe center, whenever needed to, as I have been. But I feel like I can be more versatile in those power positions. And, for example, instead of being a pulling guard who maybe after a few plays I might start getting tired, now it's like, okay, send me 20 times if you want to. I'm ready.
Mouse, you learned under the students of the, I believe the Surge head coach and as well as Coach Lee's camp. So you've gotten some good instruction.
I have, and those have been very short term things, over the course of a long weekend. And it's amazing with some coaches who have experience handling women that have low experience, how much improvement they can get from us in a weekend. As I think Jenny went through the same thing as well as one other teammate who's not on the call and went. We all came out of there feeling like, wow, I know so much more. I know our coaches, may not coach the same way because we don't have the same position coaches, but I'm going to try to carry this message back to my teammates. And, if we get some position coaches, I'll listen to them too, but I'm just going to keep repping these things I've learned and hope that it helps me get better, and it has helped me get better at walking.
All right. And so, Emma, I'll go back to you because apparently you noted on that you're a busy mom, so I want to just get your take on it. Is it a time management crunch for you? Is it just because you love the sport and you make time for it? It's blocked as an appointment or something? I mean, how do you juggle your schedule with family and obviously commitment to being on a squad like that?
It's everything you just said. It definitely is a juggle, but it's well worth it. The practices that we do have, I look forward to. I am as committed as I can be, and if I can make it, I'm there. I try to stay as organized and efficient as possible. I just make it happen.
Yeah, and I think that's a real plus because you don't get that in a male sense sometimes either because of the fact that they're not involved with what I call multitasking. On a female level, you got a lot of multitasking to deal with because you have a lot of intangibles on top of that, and you have a sport dedication. You really have to applaud the women's gridiron game for a lot of sacrifice and dedication to the sport. And I think really, as we talked about earlier, once Team USA gets on board, hopefully, the awareness is going to get there, and obviously the appreciation from everybody playing the sport, not just from 2009, but, way beyond that. And I know you have the Toledo Troopers movie coming out, hopefully down in 2014, so that should be impactful from the 1970s. And then we're going to talk to Megan Harris here in a little bit about the Tackle Girls documentary as well. So, ladies, I appreciate you guys being on the show. I know I got a big response from Ahmad, and I appreciate Ahmad Newton for making the time and reaching out to us as well and for you guys being on here. So you guys are welcome to come back up here. If you have any events coming up, anything special, give us a buzz, and we will try to get you back on here to get the exposure and put you out there. So, Emma, I'll start with you. You have any final words for the Ventura family out there, the community, as to what you guys are going to do next season for as a team?
I definitely hope and pray that our team grows to become stronger and we have as many games as possible. I think being on the field and competing is so important as a player. Practices are essential, but when you're out on the field playing against another team, there's a different type of aggression, and I look forward to it. All the women I play with, I thank them. They're great.
Awesome. So, Jennifer, you got any last words for the Ventura community as to how you're going to lead this team to a good standing for 2014?
Definitely just lead by example, and just I appreciate all their support for our team, and, we won't let them down. So.
Awesome. So, Lauren, any final words before we bail out of here with you guys?
The only thing I could say is, when I wrote the bio for this program, it was really hard for me not just to talk about my teammates and say how great they are, how much I appreciate them, the dedication. Emma and Jenny, when they came to the team, each of them, I was just so happy and proud of how they progressed, and they'd keep coming back. And I'd see, maybe some practices are kind of crappy for all of us, and some of them are fantastic, but they just kept coming back, and they're fantastic teammates, and we have a bunch of other ones that are just as fabulous. So I'm really grateful that I can still be on this team, and I think that when we pull together, we really grow. I love this team.
Awesome. And Sandy, any final words for the Ventura community as to how you guys are going to tackle 2014?
I think we're going to have more home games, which will bring our community more awareness to us, and I think that's going to be a big positive in growing this team. And I want to say thank you to Sarah for being on this call. She's one of our rookies this year, and we're looking forward to her commitment to this team. She's showing it already. It's wonderful. It's a commitment for every single woman, and it's a hard thing for women to juggle like Em and Sarah will be doing. And I just thank them so much for doing it and letting us all play the sport that we love.
All right. And Sarah, any final words as to coming over for 2014? Expectations, high hopes. Do you feel that?
I'm excited. This is my first time playing, so I've met a few of the teammates, and everybody seems awesome, and I can't wait. I'm excited.
So I'm going to be following you guys exclusively. So a little criticism now and then, and maybe a little praise now and then. Is that okay with you guys? But overall,
bring
all
it,
of you guys on Facebook,
bring it,
and Twitter. Bring it. I know everybody's challenged me in the past, so I'm hoping you guys will end up on a good state. But overall, I'm really happy that you guys came on our show, showcasing and expressing what the women's game is all about. And if you haven't seen the Ventura Black Widows, you need to go see them. So go on their Facebook page, look up Black Widow, Ventura Black Widows, check out what they're all about. They should get their website out soon, hopefully before the 2014 season, if not. And hopefully we'll catch them on Twitter as they open their account on there. So go support the Ventura Black Widows women's gridiron team. So, ladies, thank you for making the time today on Sunday.
Enjoy
your NFL Sunday, and we hope to catch up with you guys in the future.
Thank you so much.
All right. So that was the Ventura Black Widows, and they are looking forward to 2014, as you can pretty much attest at this point. So we are going to keep tabs on them and see how well they do, and then maybe bring them on board to reflect at the end of 2014 season as how their season went from this conference call that we had. Erica, do you know if Megan's on?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, perfect. We are going to bring her on board right now. Megan Harris, and I believe Bill Harris should be on the line as well, from the Tackle Girls documentary, and that's going to be premiering, I believe, next month. So, Megan, are you on?
No, actually, it's Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Yes.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
Terrific. Thanks very much for having me on.
Perfect. So, Bill, we were trying to get Megan on in a couple shows back, and things just didn't work out, but hopefully today is the day that we talk Tackle Girls, and I know you started this initiative, so tell us a little bit about how you started it and at this point how it's evolved.
Well, Megan and I, we're co-executive producers on the project, and we run a small but earnest production company, really focused on doing films that are passion projects of ours, and things that subjects that we really view as having a specific purpose or filling a need kind of for some social discussion. So we do a lot of films that are purpose driven. Actually, Megan was on a panel for the New York Women in Film, and she was approached by a player on Team USA who kind of told us a little bit about what they were doing, and they were just finishing up the selection process and on the way to training camp for the tournament in Finland. And it really became, it was one of those things where we saw the project, we really kind of got excited about it. It was a once in every 4 year kind of thing, so we jumped on it and started immediate production on the film.
Awesome. So, and I know you're part of Pywacket.com is where you're at, right?
Yeah, Pywacket Productions. That's our production.
Yeah. Team. All right. So, so Bill, I know you've done a lot of things like you talked about earlier. I mean, 30 years of broadcast, and you have experience working with pretty much every major network, pretty much in the U.S., as well as television and History Channel, Lifetime. So, this endeavor, was it something that you saw that you wanted to support the women's sports in general?
Well, yes, and again, and I'm a bit of a television and film dinosaur. I've been around a long time and have worked for ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, and I spent the last 16 years at A&E and History Channel, where I ran production and operations. I actually went into kind of semi-retirement. It was kind of a sabbatical at the time, and started doing more work independently, some consulting, and some specific projects with my wife, who is a producer as well. This was something I think we were drawn to it on a couple of counts. One, it's just a fascinating story. I think we were really not just impressed, honestly, by the gameplay and the dedication of all the women players but also the need really that, you know, what we bring to it is an ability, we hope, to showcase the story and get more and more people to really understand and appreciate what a terrific effort it is and truly what a great sport and game that these, I mean, they're all world-class athletes that they play. So I think that was the thing that really drove us. It was a unique story. It had a lot of great drama and personalities, of course, and it's about football. So it really was, and it's shaping up to be a really exciting and fun film.
Now, Bill, did you guys at one point dive into this and soak it in? Because I know the excitement was there. This is the second tournament beyond 2010, of course. The 2013 tournament was really the first time that this sport was being elevated at an international level, but also there was the support of Team USA on the backside now, which is huge as an announcement. So this documentary is, in my view, is going to go down in a lot of ways historic. Do you see it that way?
Well, listen, I think that as filmmakers, we were really, honestly, we were privileged to kind of be embedded with Team USA through a really grueling training camp and the trip to Finland for the championship tournament. We also, the film itself, which is The Tackle Girls, One Team, One Mission, actually follows the team back from the World Championship, where and it's just kind of curious as the story unfolds, because you can't write scripts like this, really, but where you see all of the players who were selected and part of Team USA go back to their national league teams. And it just so turned out that that in the championship, the national championship afterwards, there were 9 players from the Team USA on one team in the finals, and 7 players on another team in the finals. So these teammates became rivals when they got back on the states here. And so there's really it's just a great story. And dramatic arc, and to your point though about the World Championship, one of the reasons, and we did dive pretty much headlong into this, we did a lot of research as soon as we became aware of the tournament coming up. Certainly look back at the incredible accomplishment of the team in 2010, and knew that this was going to be, and you're correct in stating, a historic feat for them to defend their crown, but also a pretty unique opportunity in terms of timing and particularly with the film now that we hope will bring shed a lot of new light on this, that it really will help to elevate the attention that the sport should receive and get it not only more validity out there in the sporting world, but I think a lot more fan support as well.
Yeah, and you guys did a great job. We watched it over and over. And you can feel the passion of being there. You can feel the players' excitement. We talked to previous players before that about, how this year and this tournament was way different than 2010. Even though 2010 mm-hmm. was the initial kickoff, it's kind of like the dream team of Team USA basketball in a way. But this is now the next level. And I think your film really expresses that. This is the next level where women's gridiron can go now to another level.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that the sport itself is evolving. I can tell you, and I played a little ball in university many, many years ago.
Just a little ball, Bill?
Listen, beyond the fact that these female athletes are just so good at what they do, and you recognize it, it only takes a second to recognize that it is the same game. and I can tell you with all due respect, you have 220 pounds in full gear hit you. It doesn't matter if it's a male or female. And with skill, it can still flatten you pretty well. So we were just so incredibly impressed with a dedication. And again, I think the historic, in terms of the timing here of this event, of what this team accomplished, and what we hope is there on the cusp of some really great things for the sport. And for, you know, there's a bit of undercurrent, obviously, of the social message here, which is in great part about gender equality and mutual respect for women's sports all around.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. You know, I know Sammy's been shooting for that. Sammy Grisafi, we're talking about the number one quarterback in the world. We had her on last week. But, you know, for the most part, like you said, these are amazing women that are doing a lot. I mean, we got moms, teachers, a rock musician from Sammy Grisafi here, executives, entrepreneurs. They're doing a lot of things, like Adrian Smith. So there's a lot of, how would you say, capable, you know, amazing women that are elevating this sport, and they really want to do a good job. And now I think, you know, your film really showcases that, the fact, like you said, the struggles, the dedication, the time, and ultimately being on a world stage, and I think that was just a bonus.
Well, no, it absolutely was, and I think the point, again, you talk about what draws us to subjects in films that we like to make, and I think, you know, making a real difference here, exploring this story and the people involved, and again, their real dedication to this. And as you well know, they're not largely compensated by any stretch. And so it is full on a labor of love in the sport that they practice here. And we're doing our best to make them proud of this effort, because it really was an honor to be able to spend as much time as we did with them. They were every member of the team and the coaching staff, I have to say, were completely open and honest and trusting of us to try and do the best job that we could to highlight their accomplishments. And we came away, I think, with really just one of the most, you know, it's really an inspirational story. I mean, beyond the normal kind of dramatic arc of sports, where you have underdogs and highlights and things like that, you really come away appreciating, and I think it's as important as anything, is you come away appreciating how hard these women work to do what they do, to really compete on the level that they do. And also, honestly, to do it in a way that is not completely and wholeheartedly supported by society in a way. So it's their kind of passion, I think, that makes everybody, you know, football fan or no, kind of step back and go, that's really impressive that they can do so much. And we're really hoping again that the film will be a very mainstream documentary that will kind of really allow people to understand really the power of not just the talent but the passion that they have for this.
Now, Bill, tell us a little bit about what it holds for this point. Are we launching a preview date? How is it going forward? Is it being given out on outlets, you know, where can people get a hold of it or view it at this point?
We are quite literally, and I kid you not, we're kind of working night and day because we've put really quite a self-imposed deadline on this because our plans are to have a preview screening Super Bowl week in New York City. We're just finalizing that plan, and it's along the lines of course, before the boys hit the field, you should really take a look at the girls. And so the Super Bowl, of course, is being held in New York this year, and we're doing our best to kind of put together what will be a very nice preview event that will include as many of the team members who can make it to the city to attend. And from there, That's really going to be, honestly, kind of the private preview, if you will, to kind of roll it out. And for there, we're going to take it over the course of really the next few months of 2014 to a few festivals. And then, of course, it's our hope that we're going to get some interest from a few of the usual suspects in terms of broadcast distributors and, you know, get it on TV before the end of the year.
Awesome. And that sounds amazing. I mean, is there any positives here going forward with maybe the NFL supporting it? I know Team USA is probably one of the, you know, the staples on there, but are you getting anything, you know, in terms of the NFL embracing this?
Yeah, I'm, you know, in truth, and there's just a couple things a little too inside to mix metaphors here, football on the filmmaking side for us. I mean, clearly, this is an independent documentary. We've, you know, we've taken this on. We've self-funded. We've chased this.
Right.
We've done a lot of the work, and that's a long way of saying one of the things we have not done is given anybody kind of creative control other than ourselves on this. The NFL has been very. Very accepting and very interested. We've had some very significant discussions at the highest level, the SVP level of marketing there. They're very well aware. Clearly, they'd like to know a little bit more about the story before they can give any kind of full endorsement. And we obviously plan to do that as we complete a better cut. So, yes, I'm hopeful. You know, my dream is that we're going to be in the NFL zone during Super Bowl week, with some kind of presence, and that may be alongside USA football as well. And at the very least, we will have some NFL interest and support during the preview screening to kind of see where we go from there in terms of their full support, sponsorship, or embrace in the project.
And you've done amazing work, Bill. So we have to, you know, we have to throw that out there. You obviously are a member of the National Association of Minorities in Cable, the Hall of Fame, and also you have been called a cable maverick, from what I gathered from my notes and information that I gathered.
Well, you stay around long enough, you tend to get a lot of accolades. But no, I'm very proud of you know, of my career and a lot of work that that I've done, and you know, winning awards and launching series and networks has been, you know, a great blessing for me, kind of across the board. And honestly, at this point in my life and career, I'm really focused on things that, you know, that mean something to me personally, that make a difference in the world, and in some cases, as in this film, are lesser known subjects that really deserve to have some kind of a celebration or recognition. So I'm you know, just as thrilled to do this and help to support the sport itself and the cause for you know, for women's rights in society as anything else. So it's a great project for us.
Now, Bill, were you at the tournament? Do you see this taking off in a lot of ways based on your work at this point? Do you see positive, because I came across like this is just the beginning. It's a great story, and obviously the documentary, you know, showcases a lot of amazing, talented individuals. Do you see this as a step forward going forward here, especially if the NFL accepts it or NFL has some sort of interest with it, and obviously Team USA now being involved?
Yeah, quite honestly, we're just the filmmakers here. This isn't our story, and it's not as much of, our mission is to help promote this sport in a way. But there are many people who are obviously very, very involved and very personally involved in, and also from the business standpoint to push the sport forward. You know, we're doing all that we can as filmmakers to portray a true, honest, and really compelling story about this sport and the athletes involved. I think, you know, in terms of perhaps where your question's going is, I think the film, and we certainly hope the film really will frame this as an issue in sport and get enough mainstream attraction that people will begin to recognize it in its own right. And they will know it, not just, I mean, obviously one of the things which is kind of interesting is as we're beginning to shop the film around and promote it more, is as people become aware and they actually start to understand that this is a real game, real football, and real athletes, it ceases to be a novelty. And I think that's where you want mainstream understanding. You know, it's no different than women's soccer, if you will. And
right.
Maybe before there was a big kind of, in terms of the Olympic and the gold medal awareness of that, you might have known the sport was around, but you didn't recognize the kind of impact or celebrity, and you certainly didn't know any of the players. I think that in terms of timing, there's a parallel sense that, well, and maybe not even that much, that, you know, many people don't even understand or appreciate the fact that women actually play real football. So I think that's going to be the first, enlightenment for a lot of people. And then once they're kind of, whether their jaws have dropped or they kind of sit up a little straighter to take notice and see how well these women play, they'll then start to really accord them the kind of respect that they deserve for the athleticism and for their competitiveness, because it's not an easy sport, especially on an international basis. So I think that, and I do hope that once you build some awareness and you get to the point where people appreciate the sport for what it is, then you're going to get that kind of that level of celebrity, which will allow this this awareness to build and for all these stars to emerge, and you would hope for some of these businesses and these teams and franchises to be able to really take the next step in securing a future for this game.
Yeah, and that's really the message right there. What you just stated, it's really that. It's about that. And so we're grateful for you guys taking on the documentary, and I'm pretty sure every women's gridiron player internationally as well as U.S.-based is grateful for you guys to actually, you know, disclose this type of awareness. And it's going to be great to see it firsthand, maybe in a screening or even on a national setting with a film aspect of it. So it's great that you're working towards that. So, Bill,
I appreciate you coming on board. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. It's thetacklegirls.org, and you will see from some of the clips and other things, it truly does represent Team USA, a number of the U.S. national teams, and some international teams as well, particularly the ones that Team USA fought against for the gold medal. So it's a very global perspective.
Yeah, and then I think that's where that's my point. It's like, you just didn't do one team. It really was, an overall aspect of the women's game, and I think that came across really strongly too. That, you know, it's not just U.S. based, but it's internationally where people are very passionate about the sport.
Absolutely, and I think in a strange way, it's I'm not going to say there's a greater appetite or hunger, but it's also it's more fascinating because it's an American sport. And I think there's a lot of interest and adoption on that count as well.
Yeah, and exactly true there. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about where we can find this film. Obviously, we went through your website. And then anything else at Tackle Girls on Twitter, and obviously at Tackle Girls on Facebook. So the launch is scheduled for, you said, pre-Super Bowl or during Super Bowl time?
Yeah, no, Super Bowl week. We will announce, and yes, by all means, check us out. Check out our website, of course, thetacklegirls.org. Click on and like us at Facebook, and you can kind of follow along on some of the developments. There's the Facebook community is growing quite readily, and I think you'll see a lot of the community outreach and a lot of the interest from many of the players and their families, and, you know, as we're getting into other people outside of the sport of women's football specifically, who are starting to become more aware and interested in this. So that's the best place to kind of keep updated. You can see a lot of clips there as we're developing parts of the film and rolling out some kind of, you know, DVD extra segments. And again, we're going to be crunching, which is really kind of stunned here because it's really only the next 2 months until we get to the end of January when the Super Bowl is played. So it's just a couple more months. We'll be finished that early preview version. We will have a number of screenings in New York, which we will announce. And then from there, our hope is to have beyond the film festival runs, because there are two big cycles, one in the spring and one in the fall, of major film festivals that we believe the film will be eligible for. Chances are we'll also be doing some independent screenings, little barnstorming tour at some cities around the country, probably a number of cities with significant women tackle football teams and followings there. And then by the time, we get to the fall, we may have a better idea of either a general theatrical release or a television broadcast at that point.
Awesome. So that's all great news for Women's Gridiron. Bill, we myself, who support the game, and I know every player that plays this game internationally as well as domestically in the U.S., we're very grateful that you guys have taken this on and given this sport its deserving, praise. And hopefully, like you said, with everything that's lined up, it will go to a higher level of awareness. And that's going to be the key right there, is to make everybody aware that there are amazing women playing this amazing sport.
Well, indeed, you're right. And number one, we're honored again to have the opportunity and to be able to do it, because it is a unique story. It is interesting. It's also rare in life and television. We pretty much have had exclusive access to all the materials and the players through the process. So it really becomes truly a historical archive in a way of what we've done. And in terms of importance, one of the last things, it's a bit of a spoiler alert, so you can plug your ears, but it is well known. One of the things we did quite recently was travel down to Washington with members of the gold medal winning team who were invited to the White House to meet with the President's Council on Women and Girls. And that was really a very special treat, really interesting, and raised awareness for the sport and the athletes to a whole new level, right up to the fact that Valerie Jarrett, who's one of the president's chief advisors, tweeted out about the meeting that day. So we're definitely, I think, raising a lot more interest and awareness across the board.
And we are, like I said, we thank you for that, and we are going to be totally excited to see the screenings and obviously the Super Bowl event. At this point, like you said, you guys are working really hard to get that out there. So, Bill, before we go, is there anything else you want to mention to our fans about the documentary and anything that we may be forgotten?
No, just listen, I appreciate the opportunity to speak directly to so many of the fans. We, of course, also appreciate their great support. Would ask them to check us out if they like what they see. Of course, to like us on Facebook and to share it with a bunch of their friends. The last bit of business is we are truly a nonprofit production. It's a real 501c3. So we do take donations, and you do get a true actual tax deduction receipt for that. So whatever anybody can do to help along the way, we appreciate that as well, because it's an important story, and we really want to do our very best to get the most people to be
all
aware
right.
of it.
And Bill, the donations, we can go to documentaries.org. There's a link there, too. And do you have a link on the tacklegirls.org as well?
Yeah,
for the donations?
You're right. Tacklegirls.org. You just go there. There's a little support button, which is a secure link to an organization who's our fiscal sponsor. It's the Center for Independent Documentaries, which is a big organization in Boston. They do all these PBS films and Peabody Award winners. And they're an amazing organization for us, and they administer everything else, and they pay all the invoices and do all that. So we actually never, believe me, we never actually see any of the money, but it does, everything does go directly to support the production costs and some of the outreach.
So that's a great thing right there. That's amazing. So, Abil, thank you for your time. I hope you enjoy your Sunday afternoon. We can hook up in the next couple of weeks or so, or before the Super Bowl event here, and see
Absolutely.
How that's panning out. If not, then we will obviously wait for the dates that you talked about the pre-screenings and the screenings within the summer and the winter mode. So we look forward to that.
No, I appreciate it again very much, and we'll absolutely stay in touch and keep you updated on all the things that are, you know, the next 8 weeks are going to fly by very quickly, so it won't be too long now, that's for sure.
All right, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Hope you have a great
Thank
Christmas
you.
As well, and a Happy New Year, and we look forward to chatting you with you again, hopefully, like I said, in 2014.
Terrific. Thanks again so much. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Bill. Enjoy your afternoon. Safe travels out there.
Thanks. Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right, Erica, so an amazing hour. We had Ventura Black Widows getting ready for 2014, and they're similar with their struggles from the previous season, but they're looking forward to a positive 2014. And you just talked, you know, we just basically had a conversation with Bill Harris, who's going to take this next level and put this film on the map and to make people aware of women, you know, playing American football.
Yeah, that's really neat.
And we can't wait for the screenings. You said it's going to be independently screened. Hopefully he gets into the major screens, which is in Europe and obviously in Los Angeles. So hopefully at some point it might even hit the theaters. So if it does that, I mean, that's going to be huge for every woman that's played this game, you know, going way back. But, you know, currently since the 2010 and 2013 team, that's going to be a great accomplishment for them.
Yeah.
So on that note, let's go into, let's say, week 11. I will let you guys know we had Inside Edition, before we go into week 11, Inside Edition did a piece on the Lingerie Football League and some of the intangibles of some previous players with injuries and non-compensation. It's on our Facebook page. It's also on our Twitter feed, so you can find it there. The only thing I'm going to mention on this show is really simple. The ownership of the Lingerie Football League or Legends Football League, obviously at this point, in my eyes, my personal opinion, is not committed to sharing revenue with its players. So I'll leave it at that. Not committed to doing that because in Mexico, the LIBF, which is the Liga Iberoamericana, the Bikini Football, their ownership has been paying their players from year one. And this is the first season, and he's been able to compensate them approximately $200 American dollars per game, per player. So you can't tell me that that's not feasible, given the fact that he's almost going to get a TV contract with TV Azteca. If he gets TV Azteca, he has told us that he will be sharing revenue with the players based on the feedback of the contract. So, you know, Legends Football League, you know, it builds itself as the fastest-growing sport in the world. So it's time for Mitchell Mortaza to step up and put the claim on there. Put it in writing, share the revenue with the players, and really put this sport in a legitimate state. And if he can do that, obviously he's won. At this point, he's lost. So I'll leave it at that. For the scores on all the women's games going on in Mexico this weekend, the women's games that happened there, we will update those on Twitter. I want to give a shout-out to the Female Gridiron League of Queensland. They got their playoffs going on, Summer Bowl II coming up at the end of the month here. Gold Coast Stingrays with our Lauren Evans taking on the defending 2012 Logan City Jets, and that's going to be with Christy Morin. So they are getting set for Summer Bowl II. We'll see if the Logan City Jets defend their title and go back-to-back champs. We will update the Gridiron New South Wales as well, and all the tryouts. We'll post on our Facebook page, if not our Twitter feed, so look out for those. So let's go into week 11, Erica. Tell us a little bit of what's going on right now in terms of the finals and what you saw.
All right. Well, the Saints ended up pulling out a last-minute win over San Francisco. So that was a shootout right till the end there. So that was kind of back and forth there for a while.
So technically the Niners lose. So the Niners lose today.
Yeah, the Niners lost, and Seattle won big time. So Seattle is ahead in that division with the Niners loss today. The Steelers beat the Lions, which is interesting because the Lions seemed like they were kind of a little bit on a roll, but they lost to the Steelers. So the Steelers
we all knew Pittsburgh was going to rebound, Erica, because you said it. At some point, they're going to turn it around. And now they've started, I think, two wins in a row, so they're coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Bears beat the Ravens in overtime. So I think McCown is kind of showing that he's ready to take this Bears team somewhere, you know. So
somebody tweeted me on Twitter saying maybe we need to cut Cutler. I don't know if that's, you know, I'll just throw it out there. Cutler. Anyway, wait a minute. So, yeah, McCown has been playing better, of course.
Yeah, and the Nick Foles led the Eagles to beat the Redskins. So,
what do you think there, Erica? Griffin, is it the problem, or is it just the Redskins are just terrible now?
Yeah, I think it's the team in general. I mean, I think RG3 is obviously part of it, but I wouldn't blame all of it on him. I don't think you can usually blame a team's loss all on the quarterback. But, no, I just think that there's not a lot of harmony. I don't see a lot of harmony with, you know, Shanahan and the team. I feel like there's some discord there. Not necessarily like fights necessarily, but I just feel like there's not a lot of cohesiveness there. And I think that that's affecting them.
So. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, and the Jets got killed by the Bills, which was great for the Patriots because that puts us in a clear number one in AFC East with the Jets losing because that's the only conference opponent we've lost, or the division opponent we've lost to. So that was good.
So Erica, I believe you're smiling right now and you're very happy at this point because of that, just like I am happy with the Niners losing. Yeah. Overall, we kind of knew E.J. Manuel was a better quarterback than Geno Smith. I think everybody got that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, that whole situation is just, ridiculous in general. But, yeah, I would agree with you there, definitely. He's shown a better performance than Geno Smith has, so.
Yeah, and I think Detroit losing to Pittsburgh was a real test for them, and I think this was a deserving loss if you want to consider it that. Even though Calvin Johnson got off for two touchdowns, I think that Detroit really had Pittsburgh gave them a real good test today. I think.
Yeah, and it's weird because Detroit scored all their points, all 27 points in the second quarter. That was it. They scored all their points in the second quarter and didn't score anything else. It was just kind of a weird little thing, you know.
The surprise for me today, I think, was Texans really just they've lost. They've given up. I don't know what's going on in Houston. 8 in a row. That's just like horrible. And they're not playing horrible. They're just losing horribly, if you want to call it. I heard a tweet. Somebody sent me a tweet saying that Johnson and Schaub are at odds or something, or they're having differences right at this
point. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm thinking Houston's starting to unravel at some point.
Yeah, well, and, you know, they don't have Arian Foster. He's on IR, season-ending IR with back surgery. So that's not good. Schaub took the field today, and I guess everybody booed him. So.
And, I don't blame the fans. I mean, there hasn't been that much production. So it's like, I feel bad for the guy in a lot of ways, you know, because your home base is booing you. But the expectation has been higher. They put this team 2 years ago and a year ago at a state where they're going to turn things around, and now you go the other way. And there's only so much there's only so much selling that you can do and say, hey, we are going to kick some butt this year, and it's not, it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And who's the scapegoat? It's either going to be the coach or it's going to be the quarterback. And unfortunately,
exactly.
at this point, because the coach has some sort of illness, it's kind of bad that, you know, to mock on the coach at this point, but the quarterback's
yeah.
in a healthy state, so let's just bash the quarterback at this point. I think that's where the fans are at.
Exactly. Well, and I think, was it the Texans were undefeated last year until they played the Patriots? Everyone expected a lot from them this year, and it just didn't happen. They just haven't delivered. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The Chargers, which was surprising.
Yeah, and at Tampa Bay, I thought was an impressive game today. 41 points up against Atlanta, and
yeah.
I have no idea what these Dirty Birds are at. I mean, because these Dirty Birds have been killed in the last 3 weeks. And so it's like Glennon goes 20 of 23 for 231 yards and two TDs, no INTs. So where is Matt Ryan? Where is this? And they're banged up. Let's just throw it out there. The Falcons are banged up. So I guess that's the answer now. That's not an excuse, but that's the reality of it. The reality is the Falcons are banged up, and now, you know, Tampa Bay somehow puts up 41 points.
Yeah. I know. It was very surprising to me, not only that the Buccaneers beat the Falcons, but that they were able to put up 41 points. I mean, that was pretty crazy. But, you know, like you said, the Falcons are just, they remind me a lot of the Texans. You know, we expected a lot of them this year, and they haven't delivered, and they're just kind of petering out, you know. And it's no real glaringly obvious reasons why they're failing, but they are failing.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a reality now because, you know, they have injuries. It's really hard to get back from injuries. You got no more buys. You got to do what you got to do to get back. But it's a tough division. Carolina has turned it around in my eyes. New Orleans is New Orleans. They're not going to falter from here. I mean, they might lose a game here and there, but going forward into a playoff state, they're going to be a good team, and they've proven they're a good team. Today, I mean, obviously, they beat San Francisco. So Carolina faces your Patriots, I believe, on Monday night. So it's a real test for the Panthers against Tom Brady. If they come away on Monday against New England for some reason, now you have that division being, you know, the top two teams in that division really have been separated from the bottom two. And so it's really that's what the reality is for Atlanta and Tampa Bay. It's like they got to look forward to next season.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So tell us a little bit about Monday night, Erica. What's your good feeling on Monday night? That's your game, your team. What are we going to see Monday night at this point?
I think it's going to be a good game. I think, you know, the Patriots defense really banged up. Gregory's out. Obviously, Mayo and Wilfork have been out for a while. Denner's out. Tlaib did make the trip, but he should be in. But our defense is banged up, which isn't good with a team like Carolina, especially with Cam Newton, how fast he is. You know, he's mobile and he's big. Hopefully, you know, I think if the Patriots can really neutralize Newton and keep him stationary, keep him forcing him to throw the ball, I think we have a really good chance of coming away with a win. I don't know much about Carolina's defense, so hopefully our line performs and gives Brady the time he needs to connect and our receivers actually catch the ball, because that's been a problem. I think it's definitely going to be a good game, and I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, and Carolina's coming in with six and three, five-game winning streak against the the Patriots. The Patriots also on a two-game winning streak. So, you know, it's two good teams, like you said. The matchup should be a good matchup because of the fact that they're coming in on a high for both teams. Let's dive into the Sunday night game. What's your take on that game?
My take on this is that actually bet a dollar someone today at work that the Chiefs would beat the Broncos. That's my take. He took the Broncos, so I guess we'll see if I owe a dollar tomorrow. But I think that the Broncos are more offensive heavy, and I feel like the Chiefs are more of a balanced team as far as their offense and their defense. So I think if the Chiefs can kind of flush Manning out of the pocket, neutralize him in a way, you know, he's got that bad ankle. I think if they can get him out of the pocket, that they have a really good chance of coming away with a win. I think that the Broncos' defense isn't as great, so that gives Alex Smith, I think it gives them their offense a little bit more of an edge to score some points. So that's kind of what I think. That's my take.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with the Chiefs. I'm gonna go with this one with the Chiefs. I think they'll pull it out. You know, I believe out. You know, Smith is gonna have a it's a good management game. You know, they don't have Bo, but I think they can supplement him with somebody else. Andy Reid has played Peyton Manning in the past pretty well, so I don't want to say Peyton Manning is not gonna win. Not gonna put a fight. But I think you have, in my view right now, I think you have the Indianapolis versus Denver game mentality, and I think Kansas City might pull it out. So it might be a field goal issue at this point. It's going to be more of a field goal mentality. So, but I think they'll pull it out if they don't fumble. They manage the ball correctly, and they've done pretty well so far. I got to give the edge to the Chiefs just for that.
Yeah.
This technically could be. This technically should have been a 9-0 matchup, just because Denver lost in Indianapolis. But we would be basically talking about two undefeated teams and who comes out a winner. And I think that's the same approach.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a good game.
Yeah. All right, so it was a great hour and a half or so. We got to bail out of here on Sunday to catch up on the Sunday night game. Obviously, Erica is looking forward to Monday night. The Clash, Panthers,
yeah.
Patriots. So that should be a huge game. And tonight, a big game right here. This is probably the best or the biggest game of the season. Broncos, Chiefs, Peyton Manning, taking on Andy Reid. We'll see how that turns out tonight. But any last words before we get out of here?
No, the Patriots play the Broncos Sunday night next week, I believe. The Broncos have two big games here in a row. I find it's going to be interesting to watch. So.
And I think it's the key right there. It's like if the Patriots win on Monday, huge matchup there. I mean, Brady, Manning, another huge weekend in week 12. So we'll catch everybody here on week 12. Any women's gridiron updates, like I said, we'll get them out there for you on Twitter and Facebook. We want to thank the Ventura Black Widows for coming on board and being on our show. We also want to thank Bill Harris from the Tackle Girls documentary. You can check them out at tacklegirls.org or on Facebook at Tackle Girls. So for Eric Lynn Anderson, this is Oscar Lopez. We will see you next week here on Gridiron Beauties Radio. So have a great Sunday, everybody.
See ya.